it started in here.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. Then I found the best show around, Justice Drew and Samantha got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and Drew, show I listen to. I won't miss a beat, I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's alright with me.
Can you dig it?
No!
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
No, God, please, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no.
News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. We are back for another week of Justice and Drew. Welcome to your Monday edition. I am Drew, that man over there, stylishly decked out in a fantastic lavender shirt, is John Justice.
Hi.
In there, also wearing purple.
As we established before the show, which I'm very excited about.
The lovely, talented, and radiant Sam Sansevier.
Good morning.
I have a splash of purple.
Just a splash.
You've
got a smattering, on your hoodie this morning.
Wore my Vikings hoodie in celebration of the big win yesterday.
Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, should be joining us just after 8 o'clock this morning. I hope Aaron Rodgers gets better. Don't really care that he hurt himself, but I hope he gets better.
He will. He will. It's a bummer. I don't ever want to see players get hurt and play.
No, of course not.
Especially players that are sort of like the identity of that team.
Sure. Of course not.
I don't even know if there's anybody else that plays on the Vikings. On the Packers. Because
apparently
all you hear
not.
About is Aaron Rodgers.
Based on how they looked yesterday after Aaron went down, apparently not.
I have an irrational dislike of the Green Bay Packers. I really only took this job so that I could become a fan of the Vikings to feed my irrational dislike of the Green Bay Packers.
Why do you dislike the Packers?
Because
so much?
Their fans have followed me my entire radio career.
They're everywhere.
Apart from this job, every single place where I've gone to work.
It's been littered.
Even here, you can't escape it.
I worked under a former Green Bay Packer, Willie Davis. He owned the company at my first full-time radio gig, and it's just every single gig, and the last one, bunch of just ridiculously stupid Packer fans.
It was weird how many there were.
I know.
Station in
so,
Tucson.
You know.
It was odd, and the company that we worked for was headquartered out of Milwaukee.
Right.
So it was like a Green Bay Packer fan company.
So, yeah, too bad, Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, dude.
My phone started blowing up after they said the word collarbone.
Yeah, because you're the resident expert when it comes to. I appreciated your texts of encouragement and letting everybody know, you know, he ain't coming back.
Yeah.
He's not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, Sam broke the news before, like, NFL.com.
Yeah. Well, everybody's.
As reported by Sam Sansevier.
Well, everybody's saying, like, may miss the rest of the season. I'm like, it's his throwing arm. He's done.
He's done
for the season. Well, I'm sorry. I know. Well, and then everybody's like, well, he came back from a similar injury 4 years ago, but that was his left arm. And I was riding horses 8 weeks after I broke my collarbone, but I shouldn't have been in it.
It still hurt,
and I wasn't using that arm.
If he takes the Sam Sansevier approach to recovery, he's definitely not coming back this season. She's still, ow. Oh, he says, I lifted my arm. Oh, I had to grab something. It hurts so much. Because, you know, you kept your arm in that sling for as long as you were you were told that you were supposed to.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Followed all the
directions.
I just got tired of wearing it after a while.
I had this cast on my leg. I just cut it off. I was tired of it. Having to lug it around. Also on
see,
the
like, old lady Sam taking out her pacemaker. I'm just tired of having this.
It's just bugging me.
Can't perform open heart surgery myself. It's easy to not wear a sling.
Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, will join us just after 7 o'clock this morning. We'll talk a bit about Lindsey Graham and him making stupid comments about the GOP. Mm. It makes me mad when they go like, and if we don't do this, we're in big trouble. It's like, shut up. We know. You don't need to broadcast it. It's not necessary, Lindsey. Just keep your trap shut. We're unaware. We're aware of how much you suck. You don't need to go and let everybody know how much you're going to suck even more if you don't go and get the stuff done that you're supposed to get done.
It's still the party you're a part of.
Right. Yeah. At least, last time we checked.
Kinda.
David Gartenstein Ross, just after 7:30 this morning.
Really looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, we had the biggest terrorist attack in Mogadishu history. We'll have some details on that coming up. And ISIS weakening in Raqqa. I'm actually looking at a story right here from the Jakarta Post. Wants to promise to paradise. ISIS fighters end up in mass graves. Yeah, I totally don't feel bad about that.
Hard to gin up a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Surrenders going on too with ISIS.
And yeah,
get David's take on why that's happening.
Pretty, it's pretty fascinating. And David's been, this is something that David sort of predicted a long, long time ago when we first learned of ISIS, was that this is going to be a long, drawn out fight, but it is a fight that we can get our heads around, and we can wage against them. It looks like we're having a bit of success.
We will be delivering Tim Hortons coffee and Timbits to an office on Thursday this week. If you want to get in the running and have your office selected throughout the morning, all you got to do is tweet at us, use the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT. And we will pick an office out of everybody that uses that hashtag. Encourage your office mates to go ahead and tweet using that as well to increase your chances.
Coming up, we do have Sam Stuff 5. We'll get to that in a moment. Plus, we will talk about the Clinton Foundation keeping Harvey Weinstein's $250,000 donation. And at least apart from mine, because I don't know what Sam has in her top five yet, but one of the stories I'm most looking forward to this first hour is the fake endorsement for a leading DFL candidate out of Alpha News.
Yeah, she...
It's pretty funny.
Took credit for an endorsement that didn't really happen.
Can you do that? Can you just like...
She still is.
Just assign endorsement?
They still are.
She did.
They haven't taken it down yet, even though the person who said got the doing the endorsement was like, yeah, no. I'm not. I don't know where you got that fake news.
That's so weird.
From...
Sam has been in there scouring the internet, though. We'll bring you Sam's top five stories for Monday next on Twin Cities News Talk.
You're listening to...
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew with Sam, 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. I got a quick one here, guys. Just popped up out of CNN.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Passengers aboard an Air Asia flight from Perth to Bali on Sunday. Okay, they've criticized the flight crew. All right.
Okay.
this is my worst nightmare. Okay, apart from the plane, going down and everybody dying. This is my worst nightmare. They criticized the flight crew for allegedly screaming when the plane rapidly descended from 20,000 feet following an apparent pressurization issue in the cabin. So one of the passengers said the panic was escalated because of the behavior of the staff, who were screaming and looked tearful and shocked. That's always my first go-to.
They're the ones that are supposed to remain calm.
Supposedly, right?
No matter what.
Yeah, I mean, they fly the most.
They're the ones that I look at when we're flying and I'm getting uncomfortable and there's turbulence. I go right for the flight attendant. Are they worried? Are they concerned? If they start screaming, dude, it's over.
It's over.
It's done. If they're worried about it, and this is their job, I'm finished.
John's opening the emergency door.
I give up.
I'm done. Hopefully, this flotation device acts like a parachute. I'm out of here. Can you imagine?
Oh, that would. I'm not bothered by flying, but that would scare the crap out of me.
Well, at least you know, like, not you know, but you know how terrifying that must have been. If that, because they're trained not to. I had friends of mine that I worked with whose daughter went through, and I was friends with their daughter who went through to become a flight attendant. We used to talk all the time about the different training they have to go through. They're trained not to freak out. So that must have just been terrifying.
Yeah, to have the cabin pressure and that quick of a descent. Yeah.
No thanks. I'm good.
Sam is trained to scour the internet every day and find the top five stories.
Trained
or what?
Like a puppy.
Yeah, it's
sit. Sit.
I'm already sitting.
Stop.
I know, you trained really well.
Not helping. You're making it sound stranger.
Roll over.
No.
Found the top five stories that are floating her boat this morning. Let's get right to Sam's top five for a Monday.
Number one.
Hang on, I unplugged my headphones. There we go.
All right, number two.
Let's try that again.
Number one.
The death toll in Somalia's worst attack has risen to 276 with 300 injured. From Fox 9, the most powerful bomb blast ever witnessed in Somalia's capital killed 276 people with around 300 others injured, making it the deadliest single attack in this Horn of Africa nation. The toll is expected to rise. Hospitals have been overwhelmed in the day after the truck bomb targeted a crowded street near key government ministries, including foreign affairs. As angry protesters gathered near the scene of the attack, Somalia's government blamed the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab extremist group for what it called a national disaster. However, Africa's deadliest Islamic extremist group, which often targets high-profile areas of the capital, had yet to comment when this story was written by Fox 9. Al-Shabaab earlier this year vowed to step up attacks after both the Trump administration and Somalia's recently elected president announced new military efforts against the group.
We will talk to David Gartenstein-Ross at 7:35 this morning for more on this story. We do have a Twin Cities connection. There was a Bloomington man who was one of the victims of the attack.
Yeah, one of the things that we'll zero in on with David is this assertion that the new military efforts against the group may have prompted this attack. David's talked quite a bit in the past about Al-Shabaab, not a terrorist or not a part of Al-Qaeda that gets talked about very often just because you don't see them linked when it comes to Western attacks, but something that the region's been dealing with, an organization that the region's been dealing with for quite a long time. And this is just, talk about again, this was just a truck bomb. Look at the devastation there. Almost, 276 killed. It's incredible.
Number two.
California firefighters say that they have finally turned a corner. From Channel 5, people were being allowed to go back home in areas that are no longer in harm's way of the California fires. And the number of those under evacuation orders is down to 75,000 from nearly 100,000 the day before. Fire crews were able to gain ground because the winds that had fanned the flames did not kick up overnight as much as feared. Daniel Berlant, the spokesman for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, said conditions have drastically changed from just 24 hours ago, and this is definitely a very good sign. He noted that some of the fires were 50% or more contained. He said, it's probably a sign we've turned a corner on these fires.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so.
These blazes have been blamed for at least 40 deaths and destroyed some 5,700 homes and other structures. The death toll could climb as searchers dig through the ruins for people listed as missing. Hundreds are still unaccounted for, though authorities said that many of them are probably safe but haven't let anyone know yet.
Again, I hope so. I mean, these fires are devastating, and with all it takes is a change in wind patterns, a change in wind strength, a change in weather conditions, and that corner could be turned right back.
Yeah, and one of the we've talked about the lack of media coverage. There's been media coverage, but the lack of media coverage in comparison to some of the other disasters that we've been dealing with over the course of the past few months. And one thing that doesn't get talked about often either are the firefighters and those individuals on the first lines that are putting themselves at risk. It's just unfortunate that these particular stories get sort of lost in the shuffle because of the nature of where they're located. On a side note, that Only the Brave, the story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots out of Arizona, opens up, I think, either this weekend or next weekend. Have you seen the trailer for this yet? Looks tragic. Looks really, really good, though. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Number three.
A Minneapolis cop is suing the mayor, alleging defamation. From the Associated Press, the Minneapolis Police Lieutenant is suing the mayor who blocked his promotion, alleging she defamed him in a text message to the chief. In a lawsuit on a Friday, Lieutenant John Delmonico alleges Mayor Betsy Hodges called him untrustworthy and racist in a text message to then-Chief Janae Harto. The chief had announced Delmonico as her pick to take over as 4th Precinct Inspector. Hodges later blocked it, saying that she should have had more notice. She and Delmonico, a former police union head, had sparred publicly before the appointment, including a widely publicized incident in which some law enforcement officials accused Hodges of flashing a gang sign in a photo with a black canvasser. Hodges, up for re-election in November, called it a patently baseless lawsuit aimed at influencing the election.
No, it's probably aimed at clearing his name.
Right.
Called him a racist. You called him untrustworthy.
Or that.
You blocked his promotion. And when that happens in the workplace, public or private sector, you know, the employee has some recourse. You can't go around just doing that.
Man, how that list of legitimate or not, the list of things, like the list of negatives attached to the mayor, it's unbelievable. It really is. Just every single week, there is something new to add to the biblical scroll-sized list of negatives. It's incredible.
Her entire time as mayor has been an absolute clown show. It's been an absolute train wreck, and it just continues. And she doesn't deserve to be reelected. The only downside is, of all the plausible candidates to replace her, it doesn't look like it's going to be a whole lot better.
Yeah, the devil you know or the devil you don't know. Yeah. They're all awful.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this lawsuit at all. And you know what? You're going to start sending texts calling people racist, and the people are going to put those texts, release those texts out to the media. Then you're going to pay the consequences.
Number 4.
The Vikings knocked out Aaron Rodgers almost literally and the Packers in a 23-10 win. From the Star Tribune, the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers to a broken right collarbone in the first quarter when Anthony Barr knocked him to the ground after Rodgers threw his 4th pass of the day. They'd been able to weather injuries along their offensive line and the loss of 3 starters in their defensive backfield because they had Rodgers. With their MVP quarterback out, their offense is looking a little aimless. Injuries, to be sure, have scorched the Vikings' best laid plans, too. They started Case Keenum for the 4th time this season on Sunday, yesterday, as Sam Bradford's left knee troubles keeping him out. Their quarterback situation, so often a source of palace intrigue, is about to be juicy again, with Teddy Bridgewater likely to be cleared for practice this week, and Bradford's status still uncertain. The Vikings already lost rookie running back Dalvin Cook for the season, and they played Sunday without 3 more starters, Stephon Diggs, Nick Easton, and Andrew Sendejo.
Yeah, let's take a minute here and look at, you know, a tale of two teams here. I mean, the Vikings have had massive injury problems, specifically at the quarterback position, and continue to play pretty well. Yeah. You know, 4-2 and tied for the lead in the NFC North. Packers, this is the problem when you build your team around one player.
Right.
And one player, it's like, I saw some Packers fans on social media yesterday all sort of echoing a similar sentiment of, you know, our entire strategy is based around Aaron Rodgers going out there and creating magic.
He had been up until yesterday.
He's amazing at that, but then you lose him, and suddenly your team looks like a dumpster fire.
What did you think of that hit? I know there was a lot of people. It was usually down, sort of. Yeah. Team alliance lines.
We've got the call from Paul Allen on that.
Vikings rush 4. Rodgers looking left, sees nothing. Flushed out to the right. Hit as he throws. Dropped by Martellus Bennett. And Anthony Barr smacked Aaron Rodgers, who's down at the 30-yard line. Anthony Barr smacked Aaron Rodgers right as he threw the ball. And Rodgers is writhing in pain on the ground.
You know, watching this video actually was really uncomfortable for me because I saw the clip of him getting hit. And the way that his arm hit the ground is exactly the way that my arm hit the ground. Because when I fell off a horse, broke my collarbone, I didn't fall very far, but it was the way that I fell. And it was just like putting your arm out in that way. Your collarbone takes the whole impact.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those hits where you knew right away, like, he's hurt. He's coming out of the game for a while, if not the whole game. You could tell almost immediately. It was a clean hit. I don't think there was any ill intent on Anthony Barr's part. It didn't look like he tried any extra hard to drive him into the ground. I know Aaron Rodgers had some words for him as he was leaving the field, but it was they didn't throw a flag on it, and it didn't warrant a flag. It was just one of those things. It's football. It's a tough game.
Yeah, according to Paul Allen, one of Paul Allen's tweets afterwards, he's not counting the Packers out either. So if you're a Packer fan, at least Paul Allen thinks you guys are still okay.
Yeah.
The one thing I kind of hope, and we'll talk more about this when Paul Allen joins us just after 8 o'clock. But when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, just get him like where he's in playable condition, and just in case something happens to Case. Case is doing a fine
right.
job.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
keep Case in. Let's not go. Let's just kind of keep trucking along. This is my non-educated sort of NFL Vikings opinion, yeah. but let's just, things are good. Yep. Let's keep things good.
Yep, said it last week a couple times. I'm pretty comfortable with Case Keenum back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's displayed enough. He's done pretty well. I mean, the offense is not great, but the defense is fantastic. So the offense doesn't have to be great. The offense just has to be good enough.
Right.
You know, you put 17, 20 points up on the board in a game, and your defense should be able to win that game for you.
Number 5.
A Florida man was arrested after police mistook his Krispy Kreme glaze for meth, and he received $37,000.
How much Krispy Kreme glaze did he have? It seems like
all the glaze.
Quite a bit to be. That looks like meth.
I don't even know.
Was it
know.
In a baggie?
I don't even know. Sorry. This story is just so funny to me. A police officer that was involved in the report. I mean, the police officer that wrote the arrest report said that she noticed flakes on his floorboard of his car. I assume the police department at the time said the arrest was lawful and didn't explain why the glaze tested positive for amphetamine in both field tests.
What is Krispy Kreme not telling us?
This officer was given
putting in their glaze.
This officer was given a written reprimand for making an improper arrest, and the Orlando Police Department ended up training more than 730 officers on how to properly use field test kits. But so a man, this story is from Fox News. This man was arrested after police mistook the glaze in his Krispy Kreme donut for crystal meth, and he received a $37,500 settlement. Daniel Rushing, he's 64 years old, sued the city of Orlando after he was arrested in December 2015 on drug charges. Law enforcement had spotted 4 small flakes of glaze on his floorboard and thought that they were pieces of crystal methamphetamine.
Oh my goodness.
Rushing told the officers they were likely bits of the Krispy Kreme donut he'd eaten earlier, but he was arrested for possession of methamphetamine after 2 roadside drug tests tested positive for an illegal substance.
Yeah, see, therein lies the problem. I mean, the one hand, you kind of go, just taste them.
Just taste it.
Just dab it with your finger and taste it. It's donut glaze.
Can you imagine how frustrating that situation would be? Like, you know that this man obviously knew that he didn't have drugs on his
right.
car floor. And the police officers are like, no, it's testing positive. And he's yeah. like, I just ate a donut.
Well, and therein lies the problem, was the illegal substance that that they tested positive for.
Rushing told the Orlando Sentinel, I couldn't believe it. I've never even smoked a cigarette before, let alone meth. Weeks later, a state crime lab cleared Rushing of the drug allegations and charges against him were dropped. Rushing told the Orlando Sentinel that he has been trying to open up a security business, but he couldn't because of his arrest record. He said, I haven't been able to work. People go online and see that you've been arrested.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, he's a retiree from the Orlando Parks Departments. He received a check for over $37,000 last week and told the Sentinel he's pleased with the outcome of his case.
Yeah, apparently they never explained why the glaze tested positive for amphetamine.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to know.
Well,
that's the big thing I want to know, because it's one of two things,
right?
Either there's a problem with your testing materials, your testing kits,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're finding meth where there isn't, or Krispy Kreme's putting something in their donuts.
Yeah, that's what makes Krispy Kreme so good. They did have to train more than 730 officers on how to properly use the field testing kits afterwards.
Yeah. So they must have, it must have just been the way that this officer used the test, I guess.
It feels like it's got to be a problem with the testing kit or the way it was used.
37 grand?
That'll help him open a security business.
Is that enough? Does that make you happy after that? 37 grand?
It doesn't really, I mean, because it's been, what, 2 years since this, almost 2 years since
right.
this happened?
And well,
he's been trying to work
the
for
charges
2 years.
Were dropped, what, it says weeks later?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Weeks later.
So he wasn't spending, like, time exactly. in jail.
Right. My question is, how much time did he spend in jail? If he spent those weeks in jail, then $37,000 probably not quite enough. Well, but if it was one of those things where he was arrested and released under his own recognizance, awaiting a trial, and then was dropped, and you know, as long as his record is expunged and he's able to go forward and open up his security business and all that without people being able to Google him and find an arrest record, then it's probably a decent settlement.
Nice job, Sam.
Well, thanks.
We got a tweet from Eric in Chicago talking about that Air Asia flight that dropped 20,000 feet and the passengers freaked out because the flight attendants were screaming. He says that Air Asia's crew screaming like 20-year-old girls because they were 20-year-old girls. Different hiring and training standards.
Yeah, I would be one of those screamers.
Maybe they mistook. They were really going, whee!
where were the flight attendants from? They probably had an accent. It just sounded different.
All right. Out of Fox News.
What?
No. Just let that drop 20,000 feet.
Just let it go.
Out of Fox News. So, the Clinton Foundation. This is in regards to all of the controversy surrounding Harvey Weinstein. We go Weinstein or Weinstein?
I don't care.
Yeah. We're going to go Steen.
I don't care.
Wine scum.
Yeah, wine scum. Ooh, Harvey Weinscum. I like that. We'll go with that.
I do too.
The Clinton Foundation is not going to return as much as $250,000 in donations from the Hollywood disgraced mogul Harvey Weinscum following the accusations of the sexual harassment and rape. The foundation said Sunday that the donations ranging from $10,000 to $250,000 have already been spent on projects.
So what?
Well,
so what?
Here's my thing on this, because I hear you, right? In light of everything surrounding Harvey Weinscum, it seems to be the right thing to do to give it back. But you also stop and go, for as much as I don't like the Clintons or the Clinton Foundation, Harvey Weinscum could probably use that money back. And in their world, they've probably put it towards things that they believe were worthy causes.
The money didn't commit the crime.
Right. So the
standard has been in the world of politics now for a long time. If somebody who's donated a lot of money to you, your campaign, or even your foundation,
right,
is found out to be a bad person and done bad things, the standard is kind of, well, you're expected
it
to
is.
Return it, but the Clintons don't play by anybody else's
standards. And by the same token, it's one of those moments where you kind of go, all right, is it worth of all the things to criticize Clinton over, is this one of those things that's worth it, where you kind of sit back and you can go, all right, I can understand why they would not go and give that money back. It wouldn't, you know, it would almost help Weinscum if they did. You know, the whole situation to me that has me frustrated is that this whole controversy around Harvey Weinscum has now been agenda co-opted. And that's what I find so frustrating. Like, if you weren't a victim or you weren't an individual in Hollywood that maybe was hiding this, or the lawyer that drafted that contract that built in the stipulations, you've got a lot of individuals now that have jumped on board with this and are now using it to push their own little things that are completely detached. Mm. And it's, to me, it's diminishing the horribleness of what Harvey has done here and Hollywood covering it up. I've been frustrated over the weekend seeing all these different groups sort of grabbing onto it and being like, yeah, you need to go and champion our cause now. It's like, no, let's not go too far off of the reservation here.
What frustrates me is the feigned surprise by so many who were close to him, who've worked with him, and that includes politicians, that includes people in Hollywood. This was the worst kept secret in Hollywood for a long time.
Right.
Everybody knew. There was a video floating around on social media of Courtney Love, like in 2015, was asked a question, something to the effect of, you know, what advice would you give young women who want to break into the world of acting, who are coming to Hollywood? And she kind of hemmed and hawed and was like, I don't want to get in trouble, but, you know, if Harvey Weinstein Weinscum invites you to his hotel room, don't go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so everybody knew. And I don't think for a second that the Clintons didn't know, or that the Obamas didn't know, or that all of the major politicians that he'd given hundreds of thousands of dollars to didn't know that he had the reputation for this type of behavior.
David French wrote a really good piece. It's actually getting quite a bit of controversy in National Review over the weekend, talking about where we are in this country when it comes to our mindset towards sexual morality, and how this example tells you just how far we've fallen when it comes to, you know, the sexual morality in the country, in Hollywood. It's a really, I'll link to it up on Twitter. It's a really, really good, good piece that David French put out over the weekend. 651-989-5855. All right, coming up. Hey, Attorney General Lori Swanson fighting for you. It's going to be suing the Trump administration again, right? How many different lawsuits has she launched? Now, and this one's really special because what she's suing the Trump administration over doesn't really have an effect on Minnesota.
Right.
We'll get to that. And out of Alpha News, a fake endorsement for leading NFL candidate.
Justice in iHeartRadio app today.
Did I really, a moment ago, did I really replace DFL with NFL?
You did.
Yeah, they're both awful. They're both awful right now.
Close enough, right?
Welcome back to Justice and Drew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT. Yeah, dealing with insomnia last night, man. I missed my sleep flight. You know, you got, you know, because you got that
the flight left without you.
Yeah, you got that moment where you got to get on your sleep flight. And if you miss that sleep flight, even though you're exhausted,
that happened to me last night too.
You're done. Yeah. I found myself at 11:30 at night, light on, computer on, doing work.
You know, I had trouble falling asleep too. Weird.
Mine is I'll doze off at the time I normally go to bed, but yeah. I'll sleep for like 30 or 40 minutes and then wake up for some reason. And that was just enough sleep to where like, okay, I'm fresh now.
Oh, that's not good.
It's 11 o'clock at night and you need to get back to sleep. Sorry, not going to happen.
I'm so refreshed.
Well, you asked me during the break, and you asked me, you said, well, what do you think it was? And I said, I don't know. Said I was up, you know, I'm up later on Friday and Saturday. So, and then I realized, Drew, what the problem is, and I think I can easily solve it. Was alcohol. I don't just need to drink more on Sunday.
So you need to drink more?
Yeah, I think I just need to add Sunday to my weekend binge drinking, and I think I'll solve that problem.
You only have like two bottles of Zima left.
That seems. I'm down to one bottle. I had one.
No, yeah. God, please, no.
Yeah.
No.
I had a pre-celebratory. I won't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I won't get into it. I want to get to this Alpha News story.
It's a dark place.
It is a dark place. All right, NASCAR Dale Jr., done with you. Dead to me. Alpha News. The gubernatorial campaign for Rebecca Otto had an awkward moment last week after reports surfaced that an endorsement touted by her campaign did not occur. Although, you get further into the story, and it doesn't look like they've done anything about it. So,
because they're playing semantics. They're playing the semantics game right now.
Okay.
Basically, what happened is Rebecca Otto released some ridiculous energy plan that is never going to work and is really short on details. But she's gonna stop climate change if she's governor, basically. And meteorologist Paul Douglas, who is well known for, you know, for advocating on behalf of climate policies,
okay,
kind of sort of endorsed the plan, or basically came out and said something to the effect of, you know, she's the only candidate who's released a comprehensive plan to deal with climate change. And then the Otto campaign took that and ran with it and said, we've been endorsed by Paul Douglas, who's a Republican.
Yeah, but you know, really? I'm sorry, I'm not buying the semantics. I get it, but...
I know, but that's the angle they're going, and that's why they haven't taken it down or anything yet.
Yeah, Douglas said, Blois Olson of Morning Take, that I'm a moderate Republican looking for ways to support my party. I haven't endorsed Rebecca Otto's run for governor, but I thought her clean energy plan was creative and forward-thinking, pricing all externalities, removing subsidies across the board, and making this revenue neutral. Every Minnesota household gets a check, a rebate. The distinction may be lost on some, but I endorsed her energy plan, not her candidacy. But they ended up keeping up the postal remains on Otto's Facebook page for governor.
Yeah. She wrote, I'm pleased to announce the endorsement. And she did put the endorsement of my Minnesota Power Jobs and Clean Energy Plan by none other than Minnesota.
Come on.
I know. That's why they're playing the semantics game. By none other than Minnesota's own Paul Douglas.
Lame. Lame, lame, lame. Next hour, from Powerline Blog, John Hinderacher, who joined us last week, has got a great article, Green Energy Fails Every Test. This is all a part of a blockbuster paper out of the Center of the Americans experiment that we'll get to, talking about what we've done to go green here in Minnesota and how it has failed on every single level. So we'll get to that coming up in a Gone Green update next hour. Also, Andrew Langer joins us just after the top of the hour. From the Pioneer Press, Minnesota will sue the Trump administration over its plans to stop federal payments that have reduced the cost of health insurance, according to Attorney General Lori Swanson said Friday.
No, fighting for you as long as it can score political points for her.
Knock it off already.
As long as she can score a couple political points, she'll fight for you.
Lori, stop it. This is somebody says, Lori, stop. Just stop. Yeah. Knock it off. Yeah. We're wasting our money.
The payments that they're suing about are illegal.
Right.
And they're unconstitutional.
The administration decision.
Lori Swanson doesn't care.
Not to continue the funding was long threatened and caused the insurance companies in other states to increase the rates that they plan to charge for next year's coverage. In Minnesota, however, the rates for insurance were set earlier in the month, and the administration's decision will not increase them, according to Swanson and other officials. So it's just another Trump derangement syndrome fit. Is that what we're going with here? The Trump administration said it would stop the insurance payments that were due next week and would not pay the cost going forward. So the bailout of the insurance companies through these unlawful payments is yet another example of how the previous administration abused taxpayer dollars and skirted the law to prop up a broken system. Congress needs to repeal, replace the disastrous Obamacare law. And this was all according to the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, in a statement last week.
Yeah. Years ago, the U.S. House sued over these payments, received a positive decision. That decision was under appeal when the Trump administration decided not to defend the payment. And this is well within the purview and rights of the Trump administration.
Yeah.
There's nothing compelling them to continue these payments. They amount to $7 billion across the nation.
Democratic U.S. Representative Betty McCollum, who represents St. Paul, said the president's actions were reckless. Trump has apparently decided on a backdoor sabotage.
Not a backdoor sabotage.
That will dramatically increase costs for families in Minnesota and across America. Yeah, because you've got all the legs to stand on in your argument over successful health care here in Minnesota. Yeah, you've got you have all the legs on that.
This is the third suit that the state of Minnesota is involved in against the Trump administration.
We should be getting good at it by now, right?
Right.
Maybe we can put it on the next Wallet Hub list that we land on.
top states that sue the federal government.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Along the same lines, out of reason, this is pretty interesting. By cutting off Obamacare's insurer subsidies, Trump might help more people get health coverage. The president has finally brought the law into constitutional compliance. So the federal court ruled last year that because Congress never appropriated the funding, making the payments violated the separation of powers and thus was illegal. Obama, however, kept paying them anyway. Mm-hmm. So up until now, has Trump. With his move, Trump did bring the administration of Obamacare into constitutional compliance. Hey, so he retroactively helped him out. That's nice of him.
Yeah.
There's something funny about the move, though. In the long run, it might actually increase the number of people with health insurance. It would cost the government more, cause short-term turbulence, and increase the deficit. But after it all shakes out, Obamacare would end up covering even more people. Trump might have just made Obamacare more generous.
Yeah. They go on to write, the payments in question are known as cost-sharing reduction subsidies, CSR subsidies. They are paid directly to insurers, and they provide extra financial incentive for individuals who make between 100 and 250% of the poverty line. Cut those subsidies off, and insurers will try to make up the difference by raising premiums. In a report on the likely effects of cutting off the subsidies earlier this year, the CBO estimated that the premiums would be about 20% higher for typical plans purchased under the law, but the premium hikes won't directly affect most low-income people because Obamacare's subsidies increase with premiums, insulating those individuals from higher costs. Instead, the move is likely to raise premiums for people who earn too much to qualify for subsidies under Obamacare, which is to say the people who have already been hit the hardest by the law's price hikes. The expansion of the subsidies gets paid for by the taxpayers, increasing the deficit by about $194 billion over the next decade.
So, look, if the CBO is right, and the CBO could be wrong here, okay? If the CBO is right, Trump's decision to cut off those CSRs will make Obamacare more expensive for taxpayers, but it will also result in more people with subsidized coverage over time. So regardless of what Trump intends, it doesn't exactly sound like sabotage or even backdoor sabotage, according to McCollum. They do say, if nothing else, the decision will act as a stress test of the CBO's insurance coverage model. And when you jump forward to the end of the piece and kind of get to the heart of this, okay, this is not Trump's to fix. And I do agree with this. This decision is for Congress and Congress alone. Perpetuating the idea that the decision should or can come from the White House helps erode the rule of law. Cutting off the payments has, for a moment, brought Trump into constitutional compliance, but it's not clear that Trump himself even understands exactly what that means. Rand Paul does, though. When you look at the net positives of all this, one, you got political points. Okay, just on face value, Trump's going to get political points from his base for doing something.
Right.
We are in constitutional compliance. You couple this with the insurance sales over state lines and the ability for those new insurance pools. It's all a net positive. It is in no way a repeal and replace of Obamacare. But if you're looking at a sort of, is it worth it for him to use this power, at least in my opinion, as long as we continue to acknowledge that it was bad in the first place, and it's kind of bad now, I'll take the net positives over the president using his executive action.
Yeah, put the pressure, again, with much of what Trump has done so far, put the pressure on Congress and make them act. And if they don't act, then that's where the problem lies.
651-989-5855. Use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. And remember, you can also use that hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT. Tell us where you work and why you want Tim Hortons delivered to your office. And we're going to do that on Thursday. Coming up, Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty out of CBS. Well, Congress packs tax reform. Senator Lindsey Graham says if we don't, we're dead.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.